I'm Andy Bates, part of the team here at KFUO. While you hear me on the air and in podcasts, I'm also part of the team that works behind the scenes to bring you the programs like this that you value. What you hear on the air and in podcasts is just the tip of the iceberg. Listeners like you generously support everything that makes radio and podcasts happen. Administration, cutting-edge technology, software, hosts, producers, and more. You make this happen. Can we count on you to continue this support? KFUO Shareathon, now through April 5th, is a great time to show your support and make a gift or make a plan to give for a whole year. Your generosity is important and appreciated, not just by the KFUO team, but by listeners who get to hear and enjoy Christ-centered programs every day. Will you make a gift today? KFUO.org/give. KFUO.org/give.
Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 11 through 16, and the Reverend Roy Askins is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Ezekiel chapter 34. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep, and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all the places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples, and gather them from the countries, and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. And the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us like his Son.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I've been told that one of the habits of highly effective people is to begin with the end in mind. By that, it's meant that highly effective people sometimes write for themselves a vision or a goal or a plan, and they look toward what's the end, what are they hoping to accomplish, and work towards that. Stephen Covey, who wrote the book, suggests even thinking about your funeral and what you want people to say about you when you die. And the point is, they don't go willy-nilly, but with a plan in mind. And I'm sure that's all a wonderful and great and good idea. But I want to propose something entirely different. I want to propose that you begin with the end in mind. Consider the people to whom Ezekiel was prophesying. He was prophesying to exiles. He himself was an exile. These were the ones who, in the words of Psalm 137, sat down by the waters of Babylon and wept. They hung up their lyres because they could not sing a song of Jerusalem in a foreign land. Their eyes were turned toward Jerusalem, longing for restoration to that city of peace, because on a day of clouds and thick darkness, God had scattered them to Babylon. He had scattered them to suffer. They had abandoned him, seeking other gods. They took comfort in the arms of Egypt instead of the God who washed them and cleansed them and adopted them, despite them having nothing to offer him in return. And so these exiles sat by the waters of Babylon, eyes longingly locked onto Jerusalem, and they wept, believing their end had come, when suddenly a messenger from Israel comes to them. In Ezekiel 33, the chapter just before ours, the messenger comes with the news. Jerusalem, the city to which they had been looking, where their hope and comfort was longing for, the city has been struck down, the messenger declares. Israel had not learned its lesson. The priests still defiled the temple. The people still worshipped false gods. They shed blood wantonly. They lived in adultery. and they had been led astray by the priests. God condemns those priests. The shepherds had fleeced the flock and devoured the fat sheep, and God spares not a single word of comfort for those false priests, for shepherds who live only for their own bellies. To the Israelites living without hope, afflicted by shepherds who lived only for filthy lucre, to these sheep, Ezekiel utters these words from God. Hear them again. Behold, I myself will search out for my sheep and will seek them out. I will rescue them from all the places where they have been scattered, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel. I will feed them with good pasture, and they shall lay down in good grazing land. Now that's an end you can get behind, isn't it? Consider again what this means for Israel, for these exiles living in Babylon. Yeah, they could sit by the waters of Babylon and weep. They could mourn. They could refuse to rejoice. But why? Why? What is the promise God gives them? What is the final end? Yes, they must struggle for a time under cross and trial. They must bear up under the yoke of Babylon. But they know the final outcome. They know the end. They know how the story goes. And what is it? Nothing less than the luxuriant, verdant pastures of the mountains of Jerusalem. Nothing less than a feast of well-aged wine consumed in the presence of the Prince of Jerusalem. It's nothing less than his feast offered to his people. That's the end that the exiles are to have in mind. Dear people of God, we don't suffer in the way they suffered in Babylon. Theirs was one of clouds and thick darkness, one of a lost homeland of oppression and bondage. We suffer bondage indeed, but it's a bondage of excess and pleasure, a bondage of living for the self. We are so trapped by the pleasures and cares of this world that we don't even realize we're starving, and we don't realize how desperately we need to feed on the pastures of the Good Shepherd. We are enslaved by a pair of golden handcuffs whose superficial shimmer distracts us from the rotting carcass of the culture to which we are chained. At least Israel knew they were in exile. We live in exile and don't even know it. Repent, dear people of God, for the day of clouds and thick darkness remains in store for us as well. It will come, the idol will fall, and when it does, only one thing will remain: God's promise and God's gift. He will seek out his sheep that have been scattered, and he will feed them. And here's the reality, that while we wait for the day of clouds and thick darkness to come, it is indeed true that it has already come. On the day of clouds and thick darkness, darkness reigned for a mere 3 hours as Christ hung from the cross. And in that moment, you see the end. The end, the purpose, the goal of all things. The end through which we see all of our struggles and all of our crosses. For there on that hill, outside Jerusalem, on the mountains of Israel, there on the hill of the skull, on the hill of the death, Christ died to give us life. There on that mountain, he calls all nations to himself, even now. There he gathers his sheep, and from there he feeds his sheep as they receive from his hand his body and blood shed for them. Dear people of God, there's no better grazing ground in all the world than the mountains of Israel on which your Savior hung. And so now I encourage you, begin all you do with that end in mind. And you might just change your mind about what makes for an effective person. It's not what people say about you when you die that proves you were effective. It's not what your boss says when it comes time for your evaluation. It's not about how far you strayed and then made it back. It's not about what you learned and the contributions you have made. It's not even about what your spouse and children say about you when they throw dirt on your dead body. When you begin with this end in mind, it's not about you at all, but about him, the Good Shepherd. In his name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.